God is on the move, and we believe that God has positioned you here for this time and this season. It's not by accident. Not by accident. It is not by accident that you've lost what you've lost. It is not by accident that you have gained what you have gained. God is in the business of giving and taking away, and that he has a plan and purpose for your life. And we want to dive into this series this month because we want to help you understand a few things about God's heart for you. And so you can begin to unravel some of the lies that maybe you're walking in. And so you can also see that this problem of fear is not a new problem. It's not new. Churches have dealt with this. Leaders of churches have dealt with this. And so we're going to take a look at the book of 2 Timothy, and I'm praying today that God's going to intervene and get into some of those cracks in your life that you're still leaning into and holding on to that's not causing you to walk in freedom. Because those are the areas that God wants to get to. We talked about this morning, God getting into the deep things of our life, not just the surface things. Because everyone wants to play the surface game. But no one wants to open up to the deep things of God, because it's in the deep things of God that you actually really get healed and you really see the value and worth, and you really begin to see God at work, because that's where God hangs out, in the deep, in the deep. And so most of you have graduated from the kiddie pool and you're somewhere in the middle, and I believe God wants to speak to you through this series. Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy is his son in the faith. Paul is about to die, about to die. This is his last letter. And he is encouraging Timothy, his counterpart in the faith, to keep going. There was some dissension in the church. The church had become more of an institution where they debated ideas. They liked to pontificate and intellectualize rather than prioritize faith and obedience. And how many of you know that intellectualization is a problem when it comes to your faith? Because you can reason yourself out of a relationship with God. You can talk yourself out of faith. And a lot of times reason, if you're not careful, especially in this walk, reason can win out, because as you begin to look with your eyes tell you a different story than what your spirit tells you. And so Paul is trying to help him and encourage him to keep going. Timothy is a younger man and he's dealing with issues. He was intimidated because he was having to come against leaders who were trying to come against the purity of the gospel. Because we know the gospel is about faith and obedience. When it really gets down to it, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me. Not argue with me, obey me. So in chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. As a reminder, he is writing this from prison. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. And verse 10, but it is now being revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Paul said, stand up. Understand that what's happening to me right now is for the benefit of the gospel. Jesus Christ has now come in the form of a man. It was already foreordained before time, but now was the time that God decided to reveal him. And I am an ambassador in chains, and I am the one. I'm a prisoner, actually in reality writing from prison, but also a prisoner in chains in my spirit, because I'm a bondservant of the Lord, to let you know that God has not given you a spirit of fear. And I'm telling you this from prison, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Now, anyone who is in prison, writing from this perspective, knows something about somebody. He knows he's about to die. He is going to die. But in his last letter, encourages Timothy, hey, do as I do and understand that the spirit that God gave you doesn't make you timid, but makes you powerful, gives you love, and gives you self-control, as if to encourage himself because of where he's at. As a reminder, Paul, the spirit that God gave you doesn't make you timid. I know you're about to die, but gives you power, love, and self-discipline. That same spirit is going to help you graduate from this life to the next. And I would say that most of us are not in a physical prison. But Missy so eloquently talked a few weeks ago about us being in a personal prison for the purpose of the gospel. So you can understand that it's not about you, but it is about the Jesus that is inside of you and what he has done. Could it be that you are in a place in your life because God wants to show off himself through you to those that are around you in a different way? And suffering is the way that God uses it. If people can see you suffering but still lifting your hands up and praising God, there's something to be said about that. There's something to be said about someone who stands up and declares the goodness of God where inside they're being lacerated by storms and they're falling apart because God is doing something inside of them, but they still stand up and say, God is good. He has not given me a spirit of fear, even though they're crying, but of power, love, and self-discipline. That's faith. That's faith. To do it when everything is coming against you. When you don't feel like doing it, you do it. Paul said, do it, Timothy. Don't worry about these leaders. God's got them. But just a reminder to fan in the flame. You got to fan in the flame. You got to make sure that you put yourself in a position where that thing is churning inside of you and where the embers of the result of me and my hands being laid upon you are being fanned. Fire. Because sometimes that gift that God has given you lays dormant, and life has a way to come and try to subdue the power of the gift. And so God has to remind us to fan in the flame. Stir yourself up. Remember what Jesus did. Remember that this is the time. You can debate God's timing, but remember what he did. Remember that before the foundations of the world, God had already planned it like this. It was already planned. So it doesn't matter what the last 2 years looked like. God said, I already saw it. Fan in the flame the gift. Fan in the flame who you are. You're coming out of it now. Fan in the flame. Church, you're coming out of it. Fan in the flame. Blow on it. How do you blow on it? Stir yourself up in your most holy faith. Praise God. Worship God. Stir yourself back up. I know you've been in prison. How do you get out of prison? Worship, pray, praise. Remind yourself about who Jesus is. Well, I just felt really censored. You don't have to feel censored. It doesn't matter what position you feel that you're in. It doesn't matter if you're in prison. It doesn't matter if you're out of prison. It doesn't matter if you had a mask on or you didn't have a mask on. It doesn't matter about censorship. It is a ploy of the enemy. You can have a mask on, you can be in prison, but you can still speak the truth. So if you feel censored, you have to get to the root of why you feel censored, because the root of it is the issue. That's the root. If the gift of God is already inside of you because of what Jesus Christ has done, if this was already planned and foreordained before the foundation of the world and there's no change in it, then I have to get back to the root of the issue. If he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever, the problem does not lie with God. The problem lies in the way I see it. If his love remains and it never leaves, then that means I have the ability to get back where I need to be and fan in the flame my faith again. Got to fan in the flame. Second thing, God has not called you to have a spirit of fear, but a power of love and self-discipline. God has called you to be free, free indeed, but to speak truth. In other words, freedom of speech. Timothy, stand up. Do the thing that God has called you to do in leading this group of people. Speak the truth. Remember, when you speak it, the Spirit of God inside of you makes you bold. Yeah, makes you bold. So when you stand in front of a crowd, it makes you bold. And many of you wonder right now, well, why does God have me in the season where I'm at? Why am I in the sphere of influence? Because God said, I want to make you bold there. I got to teach you some lessons about being bold there before I move you on. We can ask God to move us out of seasons, and God says, I'm not moving you out of that season until you declare what I tell you to declare, until I'm ready to graduate you. For Paul, the next graduation was eternity. Timothy still had a lot of work to do. So do you. Freedom of speech is something that we have as a right. But as a Christian, you've been endowed with the Spirit of God to speak freely the mysteries of God and the truth of who Jesus Christ is. If you cannot do that, you abdicate the purpose for which God has placed you here. You are a light in the dark. You are supposed to dispel dark with your mouth. If you cannot speak against it, you are missing out on the gift that is inside of you and accessing the power of that gift. That gift is not dormant. He is alive and well. How do I know? He is moving inside of me right now. How do I know? I see him moving in the world right now. How do I know? There are things being shaken and turned upside down right now when you see with the eyes of the Spirit. And God said, I am moving right now. I am not dead. I am alive. And I'm in the earth and I'm doing something in the earth today. Church, wake up. Wake up. So I'm causing you to move and I'm having you to flex and I'm having you to shake some stuff out because I am not dead. Just as a reminder, I ever lived to make intercession for you. And in case you forgot, I'm still working inside of you. Just so if you know the reminder. I'm still there, he said. And so I've given you a platform and a position now to do what I've called you to do. Speak the truth. I can't do it. There's a problem. Because your allegiance is not where it needs to be. If you have pledged an allegiance to an ideology, you have pledged an allegiance to a form of godliness, but no power, you are missing out on the riches of walking free with the Spirit of God in your life. If you are more into social acceptance, if you are more into culture, you are missing out on the exclusivity of the gospel and what God has called you to be in this world today. You are robbing the world of the gift that God has placed inside of you. And if you don't think that's an issue in the body, look around. When you are more concerned about more likes on social media than you are about pleasing God, you are missing the point. If you are more concerned about people liking you than God saying, well done, you have misappropriated your affection in the wrong place. You must speak what God has placed inside of you because God holds you responsible. Well, someone else is going to do it. If God has placed you where he's placed you and you don't open your mouth, it's on you. God holds you responsible, and you did it. Someone calls you out of the blue and says, hey, I just need some hope and I need some direction in my life right now. I don't know where to turn, but you just popped up. And you fail to give them the reason for why you have the hope that you have living inside of you, it is not on Jesus. It is on you. Regardless of what their response is from what you tell them. If you're so woke that you can't speak truth, you're walking in darkness. And you can't call things out for where they are, and you can't tell people the truth, that you have skirted who Jesus Christ is. It's on you. It's not on Jesus. And you're snared, not him. If you don't think fearing man brings a snare, try it this week. Try it in your own household this week. If you don't think that the enemy is lurking and waiting for you just to hold back a little bit so we can get in, just try it this week. Because you know even yourself, when you're not quote unquote where you need to be, how easy it is for you to moonwalk backwards. But God said, I placed you in a position for a reason. Open your mouth. Your words have power. Why is there such a battle sometimes when you praise? Because of the power that comes in praise. He said, I'm going to give you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Worship is a gift. And so he said, listen, I'm going to give you a weapon in this war. And if you will worship, when that song comes in your spirit, things will begin to break in your life. It's a gift. I'm trying to help you, God said, to get past this level up to this level because the enemy is after you right now. If you will just pray in the spirit when I prompt you, you'll begin to see that my will and your will begin to mesh. And all of a sudden, things will begin to move in your life. And you'll say and realize that, you know what? When I say to this mountain, it has to be removed. It has to go. Because that's the power that I have because of the Holy Spirit living inside of me. When that thing keeps coming at you, keeps knocking you up the side of the head, and keeps preying on your emotion, and you fail to stand up against it, you lose ground. But God said, if it knocks up against you, stand faith, stand firm, speak against it. Know that I've given you boldness. That's why it's coming against you. Speak. I'm trying to help you. Get over the stutter. Get over it. That's what God does. How is he going to deliver me? I'm going to put you right in the middle of it. And I'm going to have it come against you. And when it comes against you and you're shaking in your boots, I want you to declare Jesus. I want you to begin to get yourself out of your comfort zone and to speak in faith. Even shake it, I want you to do it. Crying, I want you to do it. Speak against it. They're coming against me. Good. They came against me. What else you got? Keep doing it. I can't do it. Yes, you can. I can't do it. And so when someone comes up to you and they're speaking something against you that you don't agree with, don't turn your head this way. Don't say, you're right. Speak up and say, I didn't hear what you said. What did you say? Because people will test whether or not you're listening or not. Sometimes they'll throw stuff out just if you're here. No, I heard you. I just don't agree with what you're saying. I heard you. I just don't feel like I have to give credence to that because that's of no value to me. But if you really want to talk about something, it's not that sometimes God is with you. It's all the time. It's a matter of whether or not you recognize the moment when it comes. You're supposed to be on guard 24/7. The Bible talks about you being on guard and being of sober judgment in mind because you have a devil, an enemy who walks around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. You got to be on guard. So between the hours of 9 and 5 is now your only hours of work. We're talking like 20, you got 24/7. God has access to you. You are one of God's employees. And so when God calls for you at 6 a.m. and says, hey, I got something for you. Yes, sir. What you got? Because God knows something about that time that you don't. But we have boxed God in. That God can only move in this certain time frame, and you miss out on the beauty and the vastness of God because God is not hemmed in or boxed in by anything. And so if you serve a limitless God, do you think that God's just going to work when you want him to work? Some of my best times have been in the morning times, real early with God. When I'm in bed, middle of the night, God just begins to wake up. Just spirit stirred, thinking about stuff. What you got? All right, I got you. Next day just comes in, just working it. Because God says, this is the time where I want to deal with you. Does God have access to you 24/7? Or does he have to get your permission to be able to knock on your heart off hours? I don't serve a God like that, and I don't think God wants a relationship with you like that either. Because there are times that God wants to give you something because he knows that if he doesn't give it to you now and then, you won't get it the way you need to get it. It can get convoluted and misconstrued as you go about your day, as other things are taking place. God said, I got to get it to you now in the pure form. Oh, come on. So that when you walk up to your enemy the next day and you walk on your job the next day, you walk in confidence to know, I see you coming. I already see you coming. I already know what you're going to try to do. And you start to call stuff out. The problem is that no one's calling anything out because everyone's scared and they're not confident in their relationship with God. And they don't want to say nothing about things. But the problem is that you're just ensnaring yourself because you're worried about what you're going to lose. I'm not saying don't use wisdom. God gives you wisdom. But I'm saying there comes a time where you have to declare God's goodness because it's on you. At that point. And God uses that to test you on that point. And that's going to determine your graduation out of your pit for that season. I want to get out. Okay, good. Don't worry about it. The next time that happens, say what I told you to say and be obedient. You'll graduate. Well, where is that? Paul and Silas are in prison in the New Testament. And they are singing, and they are worshiping God. And all of a sudden at midnight, the whole jail opens up. Spirit of God just hit it. Cells were open. They all got out. What's up, man? Jailer was like freaked out. Do you remember the story? He gets saved because of the supernatural movement of God's Spirit. How did it start? They were in prison and they worshiped. Guess what God did? Freedom. What would God do for you? As that wherever you're at, if you just worship, God would just begin to move you through stuff quicker. And all of a sudden, as you move through quicker, you realize that God is for me. He's not against me. And I'm just using what God has called me to use. There's power inside of me that I need to access. The weapons that I've been given are not carnal, but they're mighty in God. That's why I use them. Worship. Use the word. Open your mouth. I just can't. Yes, you can. Open your mouth. Start with something. I don't care if it's I love Jesus. Start with something. Because the more confident you get, the less the enemy can get you. Because every level is going to bring with it a new problem you're going to have to deal with. You got to deal with it on this level, get your confidence so that you can move to the next level. That's how God does it. God's not going to promote you to an influence over a large group of people if you can't handle the six that you're dealing with now and be confident in who you are. God's not stupid. If you can't do it in your house, how are you going to do it when I send you out? Because when I send you out, I need you to go out with the same confidence and boldness that you have. It's not like God picks and chooses. Okay, it's like, listen, when you're at home, you have a certain level of confidence. Now, when you go out, I want you to rev it up a little bit. When you go to work, don't be as strong as you are at home because we don't want them to see that you actually are confident, and you know that I'm working behind the scene because, you know, I don't want, you know. Don't be as bold. God said, the same person that you are there, I want you to be there. I'm not saying that there are not scenarios where you use wisdom. Again, I'm coming back to wisdom. But it never says, God says, I'm going to take away your confidence. Because I don't want you to be as confident as, because God, we don't want to step on any toes. That's not what I'm about. You know, I'm inclusive. And because of that mindset that we have, because you're looking at everybody else, you lose the confidence and the boldness that God gives you because you're worried about everybody else and trying to fit in and be inclusive. And God says, when did I ever call you to fit in? When? When did I ever call you just to go with the flow? Never. But Lord, no, never. I never have. I don't care. Through all the ages, I never called my disciples to go with the flow. I never called them to try to fit in. I never called them to try to do what everybody else was doing. Remember, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I never called you to do that. Okay, repent, turn around, start moving. The issue of identity is an issue. It's an issue. It's not something that we wink at. It's not something that we make allowances for. It is still an issue in God's sight. So when you're dealing with people who are struggling with that, there is a modicum of empathy that you have, but it does not take away the truth of what God has created people to be. Hear me. Just because you feel empathy towards something doesn't lower the bar of what the actual truth is. I can empathize, but I don't have to subject myself to that lifestyle. So what you have is because people are not strong in their morality, or because they have misconstrued God's love for this inclusivity that allows everything and anything to go on, because that's who God is. God is love. You miss the point of the boundaries that God has set and the way God wants things. When things don't work in boundaries and they don't work according to the original intent, there is chaos. There's chaos. I don't care what you say. You can argue all day. God said, I've created it this way. And that's the way it's supposed to be. There's no deviating from it. There is no subtracting from it. There's no getting around it. I am God of love, but I also am a God of consequences and boundaries. This is where the issue comes in for a lot of people, because they don't have a hard time speaking up against it because they don't want to offend people. The gospel is offensive. It's offensive. If you want some other gospel, you can find another person or character to follow who's maybe is not as offensive, but you're not going to really find what you need to find. Freedom of speech. So you have to wrestle with what you say, how you say, and when you say it. But that does not take away your responsibility from standing up to it. Because what we do is, in the name of love, we subtract the accountability that's supposed to come with love, because we want to make sure everybody likes me. The reality of it is that there are people in this room who don't like you all the time. And two, there are people on your jobs who don't like you either. So all the time, especially in your line of work. Okay. The reality of it is that you got to just know that, listen, if I walk in the fear of what if, I'm going to miss out on the opportunity to stand up and do what God's called me to do. And that's where my freedom comes in. So I've got to separate myself from doing what everybody else is doing and do what God's called me to do. I got to do it. Because when push comes to shove, and when it's all said and done, God holds you responsible for your walk. Your walk. What'd you do with it? Well, what'd you do with it? Don't you sense that with God right now? There's just a presence of God that's moving in on a deeper level. And God's asking you to recognize him on a deeper level. It's hard to ignore God. It's real hard. So if you're trying to ignore him, it's going to be hard to do that. So how do I get through some of this stuff? What do I need to do? It's real simple. You got to push through it. You got to push through it. I don't know what else to do. I do. You got to push through it. You got to push through to the truth. You got to take the truth. You got to put it up against your feeling. And you got to know the truth is going to win out. But the only way that it wins out is if I constantly appropriate the truth in the situation. It's got to be before me all the time. All the time. The fruit of the Spirit, it's great. I'm all for it. Truth is going to win out. And so sometimes what you do is that you can take the fruit of the Spirit and it becomes like something that we, okay, it's a fruit and it's good. I've got love. I've got joy. I've got all that stuff. But what happens is that no truth behind it, it's not powerful. Does that mean? Don't you want to live a life of power? Don't you want to live a life of confidence where actually things happen when you walk into the room? You're supposed to be that. You're supposed to be that conduit of change because of the Spirit of God that's inside of you. You're supposed to be that. So your presence is already offensive. It already is. So don't try to apologize for it. I'm trying to get around it. No, people don't like you. You're already offensive. Why? Because of the Spirit of God that's inside of you. It's already there. It's already there. There's something about that person. I know who it is. It's the Spirit of God inside of me. You don't like him. Because he gets in and messes stuff up. And you have to be okay with not being liked. If you're not okay with that, you're going to be in prison your whole life in the corner. Being like, oh, yeah. Your whole life you won't be able to come out and play. Because you're worried about being liked. It has nothing to do with you being liked. It has everything to do with, am I doing what God has called me to do? Purpose trumps pleasure. It always does. It always does. I can't worry about that. Can you imagine? Think about the progress you made in your life right now. Can you imagine thinking about, well, maybe now I should flip the script and I should start really putting more weight on being liked? Because I feel strong enough. That is far from God's heart for you. Far from. If you made it this far, continue in it. Continue in it. I'm a Christian. There's already a target on your back. I already target. I love Jesus. Already a target. Why? Because of who you love. Okay? Okay. There's already a target. I already know about it. I don't like what you're saying. I already know that you don't like what I'm saying. I already know. Tough. Because if you acquiesce, you lose ground in your mind. And once you lose ground in your mind, you open yourself up to bondage. And the intermingling of the flesh, and if we were honest in here, the knots that are formed because of that. So I'm going to take the Spirit of God and his freedom and his power over how you feel. How you feel? Why? Because I love him more than I love you. Oh, man. Brother. Come on, old man. Be careful what you're woke to. It's fearless, right? if you look at it, fear less. So be careful what you're woke to. Because what you fear, you give power to it. And it awakens something inside of you. You give power to it when you fear it. And people begin to create doctrine out of it and policy out of it because really they don't understand it because they're afraid of it. I'm afraid of, well, I don't, oh no, tongues, no, definitely, it's not for today, because you're afraid of it. Oh, that which is perfect has come, so tongues is not for today. Well, talk to the millions of people who are speaking right now. You're afraid of it, so. I can't give my life over to Jesus because of what it costs, because you're afraid of the unknown and the cost, but people are doing it. I want you to change your vocabulary this week. I want you to think about a couple things. Anytime a possibility comes up into your life, I want you to change from, I can't do that, to, I can do that. I'm not saying that's God's perfect will for you, but what I'm saying is you need to be open to the possibility of something new. And stop with the I can't. Because it's in direct opposition to I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So you got to change that perspective to I can do all. No, I can do that. Thank you, Lord, for that. I can do it. I can do it. God's perfect will may not be, but I'm open to it. You don't feel peace? That's cool. Go by peace. But you know what? God still wants to see your ability to say I can do. Because then what you do is you box God into it. God can only use you in these certain sectors. I'm good here, but don't ask me to go out in my comfort zone because I'm not good there. And God says, well, I can give you the strength to be able to go out your comfort zone if you would open the gate up a little bit. And the way you're going to open the gate up is you start confessing things that are different, because that's not what I put inside of you, because the spirit I put inside of you makes you bold. I may not see how it's going to be done, but when I see it, I can do it because I know you can. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It's bigger than me. All right, I can do it. Just lead me. Am I going to struggle? I might have to, but that's part of the journey. Oh, don't ask me to struggle. I mean, don't ask me to get out of my car and, God forbid, fill my own gas up. Don't ask me to do that stuff. Why? Don't ask me to serve, man. You're too closed. God says, open it up. And the way you're going to open it up is I'm going to change your mind. And the way I change your mind is I'm going to get you in a situation where you have to change your mind. Yeah, you have to change your mind. I'm going to throw something at you where it's going to cause your whole mindset is going to have to shift. Because God said, that's where I want you out. I want you out in the deep. 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 And stop telling yourself, I'm just this. I'm just this. No, you're not. I'm a child of God, yes. I can do all things through Christ's goodness, strength, yes. So that means that if I have to do it through him, that means there are going to be things that I cannot do in my own strength that God's going to ask me to do, because it's not by me, it's by him. Thank you, Lord. All right, I got you. I'm going to do that. So next time that comes in, I'm going to say yes to it. It's uncomfortable, but I'm going to say yes to it and see what happens. That's the walk. Because of the Spirit of God that lives inside of you, Kristen. If it's God's Spirit, you know that God's going to put you in situations where you're going to have to rely on the Spirit of God. Otherwise, why is he there? Let's all stand on our feet. Fear less. Less fear. That means walking on your jobs this week, walking on your places of influence, head held high. What's up? How you doing? Everything's good. When you walk into the room, you know that things have a potential to change. Why? Because of the Spirit of God lives inside of you. Why? Because He hasn't given you a spirit of, Larry, fear. Good. But of power, love, and of self-discipline. I don't have to walk. No, I'm not vaccinated. I'm cool, though. I'm cool. When the people stand up, the game's over. The game's over. But when you sit and do nothing, the game, people continue to play. But when you stand up and say, enough's enough, I'm going to take up my own weapons that God has given me, and I'm going to say, enough's enough. Enough's enough. That's it. I'm tired of it. I'm going to access the Spirit of God, and I'm going to look right into the face of the enemy and tell him he's a liar, and I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to stretch out. I'm going to do what God's called me to do, because that boldness that God has given me is there for a reason, because my mouth is a weapon. Lord, for every person in this room who's stuttering right now, get to the deep parts of their life. Lord, where you begin to do a work, strengthen things that are broken, heal emotions, God, so they can speak the truth. They can get out into the deep and do what you called them to do because of your love for them. Let me ask you this. In this attitude of prayer right now, you're honest. You're like, I'm going to be honest with you. Right now, you're dealing with fear in your life. Shoot your hand up. Just dealing with it. You can be honest. Okay, good. Thank you. There's no condemnation in here. All right. Lord, for every hand that went up, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you have not given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. I break that spirit in Jesus' name. Lord, every thought that comes in, every attitude that comes in that doesn't line up according to your word of God, I pray, God, that this week they would take it captive according to the obedience of Christ, that they would understand that they have the mind and memory of Christ, and that they will walk in freedom this week. Thank you this week for testing them. When it comes in this week, help them to stand up against it and do it in faith. Help them, God, this week to break the cycle this week, on their jobs, when they're doing their work. God, help them to hear your spirit say, I'm well pleased with you. Help them hear your spirit says, I've got a plan and purpose for your life. Help them hear what the Spirit of God is saying this week to them. Break cycles. Help them to gain ground this week, to look at the enemy and say, you're not going to win this week. Every attitude, Lord, that doesn't line up according to your word, straighten it out this week. Lord, I pray that there'll be a confidence in your people this week. As they stand before kids and teach this week, they're going to teach in confidence about who God is. Every person who walks into a house this week to do a job, they're going to walk in confidence knowing that the Spirit of God is with them. And that is in the house that is not of you has to go. I thank you, God, this week there's going to be an overwhelming sense of your presence wherever we go, that things will break this week because you're going with us, because we know that if you go with us and you're for us, nothing can be against us, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.